We also have another special guest with us this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand for the President of the United States of America? You may be seated. It's a real joy to have you here, Mr. President. I believe. Some child here this morning is going to have the opportunity to sit with the President of the United States. So, Mr. President, would you pick out a child to sit with you? First of all, how many of you kids would like to sit with the President today? Anybody here like to sit with the President? You're a little quiet. You're afraid of his guards here or what? I know they're tough-looking guys. Nick Maughan. Nick, congratulations. You get to sit up here in the front row with the President. Jim, if you could turn me up as loud as you can. My voice is real weak today, so I would appreciate it. All right. Are you comfortable, Mr. President? Nick, would you like to give the President a glass of water just in case he gets thirsty today? There you go. Thanks, Nick. Why? What a privilege to be able to sit with the President of the United States of America today. That has got to be a great honor. This morning, I would like to talk to you about a new subject over the next few weeks on how to lengthen your life and enlarge your life potential. And we're going to start part one today. God gives us the power to shorten or lengthen our physical life. First of all, I'd like to give you a verse that seems to be the opposite of what this study is all about. In Job chapter 14 and in verse 5, it says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." God has determined when you would be born and when you would die, and there is nothing that man can do to extend your life. That seems to be the teaching here from the book of Job. And I believe that that's true, but I also believe that God can change it. And he shows us in his word what we can do to lengthen our lives. Now, Mr. President, I'm glad that you are here today, but if you don't mind, I'm just going to preach as if you weren't here, all right? We won't change the message at all this morning. Maybe the President needs to hear it too. It's obvious to us that we can shorten our lives. If we do drugs, drink alcohol, smoke, we take the risk of shortening our lives. If we live wickedly, we need to realize that the way of transgressors is hard. I've seen people that have looked 20 years older than they really were simply because sin had taken a toll on their life. Sin is a hard taskmaster, and it zaps you, even physically, in ways that we don't even imagine. It takes a terrible price on the body. So what can we do to cause God to lengthen our life? The first thing that we can do, how to lengthen your life by honoring and obeying your parents. Would you all turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 18. Is my battery dead here? Or no? Okay. It seems not real loud. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And Matthew 8:14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And then the fifth and sixth chapters of Ephesians give instruction on family life. And Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 talks to the children. So if you would turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." As I thought about a message for Father's Day, I realized that this might be a little unique. Usually we preach to the fathers on how to be better fathers and husbands. But the main part of this message is going to be to the children today, how you can honor your father, not just on Father's Day, but all through the year, how you can honor your father. The passage in Matthew shows us that Jesus loves children, and the passage in Ephesians tells us what Jesus expects from children. So first of all, this morning, Jesus loves children. Jesus loves every little boy. He loves every boy here this morning. He loved every boy at VBS last week. Jesus loves every girl. He loves every girl here today. He loves every girl in the world. And Jesus loves every boy that grows up into a young person and every boy that grows up to become a man. And Jesus loves every girl that grows to become a young lady, and he loves every girl that grows up to be a woman. He loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves the well-dressed. He loves the ragged. The image of I have in Matthew 18 is of a little child coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus to sit upon his lap and to receive his blessing. Little children can be redeemed. Little children can be saved. That's the reason why we had VBS. That's why we have Kids Club. We believe that children can be saved, that they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at a young age. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3 says, "And Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And Matthew 18, 14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Most of our children have been saved at a very young age. Rachel was saved before she could even read. They were having a phonics lesson in school one day, and they came to S. And Debbie says, S says S in Savior, or S says S in Savior. And Rachel said to her, "What does it mean to be Savior? What does that mean, Mom?" And Debbie was able to explain to her that Jesus was the Savior. And right there and then, Rachel received Jesus Christ as her Savior in a phonics lesson. Children can be saved. You say, but children don't know what they're doing. Children don't really understand. They're too young. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as a little child. Become as children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not that children need to become adults in order to be saved, but it's that adults need to become like little children in order to be saved. And Matthew 18, 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Adults have to become like children in order to be saved. D.L. Moody once reported 2 1/2 saved during one of his meetings. Somebody said, "Oh, 2 adults and 1 child. Moody said, "No, 2 children and 1 adult. Because children have their whole life ahead of them to serve God. 10,241 people were interviewed about their salvation. 90% said they were saved before the age of 20. 90% before the age of 20. That didn't really surprise me a whole lot. The next statistic did. Almost 6,000 of those 10,000 were saved before the age of 10. Out of curiosity today, how many of you that are saved were saved before the age of 20? Could I see your hand? Look around you this morning. How many of you were saved before the age of 10? Could I see your hand? Except you humble yourself and become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loves children, but children can have their lives ruined. Matthew 18:14 says, "Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones," one of these little ones, "should perish." Now, this verse may mean that children can go to hell, but I think there might be another meaning there. Let's take a look at this next verse up here. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17. Again, Jesus' teaching said, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish." There's that word perish again. Same word that was in the previous verse, talking about little children. "And the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Now, when it's talking about these bottles perishing, what is it? It doesn't mean that the bottles go to hell. There's another reason. There's another explanation. The word perish here means to be ruined for the purpose for which it was made. See, children were made by God. Children were created by God for a purpose. Do you realize, boys and girls, Jesus made you with a purpose in mind? He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose and a plan specifically designed and laid out for you. He loves you so much that he knew you before you were born, and he laid out a special purpose for your life. And it's tragic when somebody ruins the life of a child so that they are not able to fulfill the purpose that God has for their life. That is a tragic thing that happens. And before anybody would ever mess up a child, Jesus said it would be better for them to hang a millstone around their neck and be thrown into the sea. And the idea is they're not going to come up for a long time. They're going to drown. People have messed up children. They've messed up the lives of children. But you know, we here at Calvary Assembly of God believe in reaching children and exalting them and lifting them back up. Others might have ruined, but you know, Jesus is in the restoration business. And he's able to take a broken life and he's able to mold it and to mend it and make it and restore it so that he has a greater purpose maybe than for which it was intended. Others have messed up children, but Jesus loves them and so should we. Because always remember that love triumphs over hate. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Grace triumphs over sin. Righteousness triumphs over wickedness. Good triumphs over evil. Blessing triumphs over cursing. Truth triumphs over falsehood. Gentleness triumphs over harshness. Compassion triumphs over hurt. Faith triumphs over doubt. Encouragement triumphs over apathy. Joy triumphs over sorrow. Hope triumphs over despair. And he that is within you triumphs over he that is in the world. Others can ruin children, but the sad fact is that children and young people can ruin themselves. God makes children through parents, and God expects parents to make laws for children and children to obey those laws or those rules. And if children don't obey, sometimes they ruin themselves. So that leads us to the second point in our outline today. What Jesus expects from children. What does Jesus expect from you as a child here today? Well, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Why? Verse 3 tells us, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." That quotation is from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. One of the Ten Commandments where it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So there are two things. Kids, all you got to do is remember these two things today. There are two things that Jesus expects from you as a child. And in fact, even as adults, we don't necessarily obey our parents anymore, but we are still to honor them. And they're still there for us for counsel when we need them. And we should always give honor to our parents. But the first thing is to obey. What kid here, what child here can tell me what it means to obey? Anybody? Back there. That's a very good definition of obey. Do what you are told to do. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Obedience is simply doing what you are told to do. Obedience involves a lot more than that. It includes initiative. You know what initiative is? It's doing what your parents or somebody else wants you to do without them even telling you. Taking the initiative to do it. You know what they want you to do. Sometimes you just look at your dad, you look at his face, you see in his eyes, you know exactly what he wants you to do, or you know exactly what he wants you to stop doing. Hallelujah. Dad, I know what you are thinking. And I'm going to obey what you're thinking. Obedience is important to learn when you are young because it's something that you will do all your life. Sometimes kids wish that they could grow up so that they no longer had to take orders and obey. I get a kick out of people who have a hard time, young people have a hard time obeying their parents. So what do? They join the military. I tell you, learn obedience there. Usually it's the Marines, I don't know. Obedience is something that you will be doing all your life. There will always be people in authority over you. There will always be people that you have to submit to and you have to obey. You might as well learn it while you're young. You might as well start out by obeying mom and dad. Once you learn to obey your parents when you are young, it's easier to obey others later on. Listen, it's much more difficult to learn obedience after you have learned disobedience. And then obeying our parents teaches us to obey God. If we can't obey our earthly parents, our earthly father, chances are we're not going to obey our heavenly father either. And then obedience teaches self-control. In fact, there are two characteristics of obedience. It has to be, number one, immediate. I'm talking here about first-time obedience. Instant obedience. Listen, it isn't obedience unless it's first-time obedience. If they talk back first, that isn't obedience. Obedience isn't obedience unless it's first time. If your dad or mom has to say to you, Susie, come here. Susie, I said come here. Suzanne, Jane, you come here right now. And then on the third time, Susie comes. That's not obedience. And it's not obedience when Susie is concerned about her brothers and sisters. Susie, I want you to go home. I just had this happen to my kids this week. That's why I think of this. I want you to go home. But what about Harry? Does he have to come too? You don't be concerned about Harry. You don't be concerned about your brothers and sisters. You just obey what your mom and dad tell you to do. You know, I think we can all relate to this. In John chapter 21, here's two adult men. Jesus is trying to get Peter to obey him and go out and feed his sheep. But you know what Peter did? Peter looked at John and he said to Jesus, what's this man going to do? And Jesus said unto him, what is that to you? Follow thou me. A lot of times we're looking around at other people. Well, Lord, what about them? Even in this area of obedience to God. Lord, what about these other people? What about so-and-so and so-and-so? And God would say to us, what is that to you? Forget about them. You obey me. You do what I tell you to do. And so in order for obedience to be obedience, it has to be, number one, immediate. Number two, it has to be sweet. It has to be sweet. Being sweet is what helps us to honor our parents. Honor is to put your parents in the number one spot. Put them in the number one position. Mr. President, would you stand up here this morning? Listen, we honor and respect the President of the United States. When he came in this morning, you stood for him. Nick got him a glass of water. We would do just about anything that he required of us to do today within reason. We would do that because we would want to show him that we honor him. We would like to show him respect. People that don't agree with his principles still call him Mr. President. They stand when he comes in the room. They respect, maybe not some of his positions on things, but they respect him as a person. They respect his place. They respect his authority. Nick, do you respect the President of the United States? Do you know what? You should respect your father just as much as you respect the President of the United States. You should not talk back to your dad. You should not sass your dad. You should obey whatever he tells you to do. And you should honor him, and I know that you do. So you're a good choice here this morning. Your dad picked a good person. But listen, all of you, you don't sass your dad. You don't talk back to your dad. You put them in the number one place. Your mom and dad provide so much for you. Everything for you. They took care of you when you were unable to take care of yourself. They fed you. They changed your diapers. Well, at least your mom did. I don't know about the dad. They pay for your education. They do all kinds of things for you. And you need to honor them. Why? Because they are mom and dad. And there's not a whole lot of things that you can give your dad for Father's Day. But you know what your dad wants more than anything else? He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants your respect. And he wants your honor. That's what he wants more than anything. If you don't have a gift for your dad for Father's Day, just say, Dad, I want to give you my honor. I want to give you my respect. One of the greatest things you could do is, Dad, I want to give you my heart. My father-in-law is here today, and I would much rather have him in my home this afternoon than the President of the United States of America. I was raised by my grandparents and my mom. My grandparent was a dear old saint of God who's gone home to be with the Lord. I would rather spend 5 minutes with my grandfather today than 1 hour with the President of the United States of America. Listen, we need to respect our fathers. Thanks. You guys did great. You can stay there or go back to your wives and family, whatever you'd like to do. Let's give them a hand for helping us out today. Give honor. See, honor has to do with you, not your parents. I don't know of a father or mother who doesn't have some faults, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. You give honor because of who you are in relation to them. Honor has to do with you, not your parents. Outward obedience without honor is hypocrisy. I'm going to move kind of fast through here. You can obey without honor, but you cannot honor without obeying. And parents, don't make a peace treaty with your children. See, most children, they don't want to be over their parents, but they want to be their own boss. They want to make their own choices. They want to choose for themselves. This is precisely what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve had no desire to be over God, but she wanted to make her own choices. And Genesis 3:5 says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Eve had the desire to choose for herself between good and evil. But Ephesians 6:3 says, "That it may be well with thee," obey, honor, "that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long in the earth." How many of you enjoy life? Do you like being alive? Kids, did you have fun at VBS last week? Did you enjoy that? Yes, you like to live. You like to be alive. The only commandment of the Ten Commandments that came with a promise was the fifth one. The only one that came with a promise was the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land." I was probably going to throw Orion off, but it's late here. I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff here. I would like to just give you some verses here on how you might lengthen your life. The scriptures prove this, that there are certain things that you can do to prolong your life. Proverbs 3:1-2, "My son, Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 9:11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. If you need any verse, all you need is that one. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You might say, well, what about a godly person who died young? We don't know that maybe God did extend their life. Many live longer than maybe they were supposed to do. My mom heard the dreaded words, you have cancer. She heard those words at the age of 38. She lived to be 55. I believe, and everybody who knew her believed, that God gave her 17 more years. This isn't an area that we are to judge in at all. We can't judge anybody because they maybe didn't live to be 70 years old. We can't judge them as saying that they were wicked or unrighteous or anything like that. That's God's decision. Maybe God let them live longer than he pre-knew that they were going to live anyway. Maybe something would have happened to them at a younger age, and God honored them and extended their years as it was. I'd like two people, a man has volunteered, and one girl to come up here this morning. Ben. And one girl. I have a volunteer to be a girl. This will only take a couple of minutes. All you have to do is stand here. That's it, okay? I won't make it too difficult on you. Now you guessed it, that's a tombstone. You might think we're being morbid here this morning, but the Bible says it's the wise person who numbers his days. I numbered my days this week. I'm 42 years old. If I live to be 70, that's only 28 more years. Half my life is gone. I took and added up the number of days that I have left on this earth. If I live to be 70 years old, I have 10,142 days. To me, that doesn't seem like a whole lot. If you are age 50 here this morning, you have 7,300 days to live. What I encourage you to do is to apply your heart to wisdom. Use the time that you have left wisely. And maybe God will see to it that he will lengthen your days, that he will extend your life beyond those 70 years or beyond the years that were determined. We have John Doe here. John cursed his father and mother. He lived a wicked life that shortened his life. God saw when John was born that he was to live to be 70, year 2058. But because of the wickedness in his life, he didn't live that long. He shortened his life. Instead, John lived until 2038. Over here we have Jane Doe. Jane heeded the scriptures and obeyed her parents and lived a righteous life. And God looked at her and said, you are to live 70 years. I will add 5 years to your life. And you will live to be 75. But here's John Doe over here. Let's say John Doe hears a message like this morning. And John says, dear Lord, I've lived wickedly. I have not honored my father. I've cursed them. I've made fun of them. I've ridiculed. I didn't obey them. I didn't honor them. But God, I'm sorry. I repent of that. Would you forgive me? And God just might put the years back on so that he lives to be 70 years old again, like was originally intended. Listen, we can't do anything in this area. This area is totally up to God. But all I know is that God says there is a promise if you obey and you honor him, your parents. He has made that promise that things will go well with you and that you will live long upon the earth. What you do with your life determines what God does with your death. You have to obey, you have to honor. And no matter what age you are here this morning, you can obey, you can honor. Rather, you can honor your mom and dad. If you haven't done so, I would just encourage you to ask their forgiveness and make things right with them. Your dad is your dad and your mom is your mom. They need to be honored. Listen, they need to be honored like no one else. God is watching and he keeps the records. Children, you have two things to obey. Or I just gave you the first one. Two things to do. Number one, what is it? Obey. Number two, honor. Obey and honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Thank you. I think this might work for either Christian or non-Christian. God's principles seem to apply in many cases to either. But if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you really need to start there to honor and obey your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father expects and requires of you to admit that you have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he expects you to believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. He took your sins and he died on the cross with your sins and mine on his back that we might be forgiven if we would simply but ask. And then we are to confess. We are to ask Jesus to save us and to come into our heart and to be our Savior and our Lord. And from then on, we begin to obey his word. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've not done that. I've not asked Jesus to be my Savior. I've not confessed that I'm a sinner to him, but today I would like to do that. You know what? We had kids do that all this last week. You know, it's so easy for kids to do that. It's a little bit harder for adults, and I think that's why those studies show the way they do, and that's the way Jesus said that except you become as a little child and except you humble yourself, you won't see his kingdom. So adults, I'm asking you today, if you've not done this, to become like a little child and humble yourself and raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but I would ask you to be so bold and courageous to raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Okay. Christians, I'm talking to you. Listen, how would you rate your obedience and your honor toward your parents? I'm going to ask you to, in a minute, to raise your hand simply because I believe that it'll give you the strength to do what I'm going to ask you to do, and that is to go to your mom and dad and say, would you forgive me for not always obeying and honoring you? You here today, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to go to my parents. I need to tell them I've not always obeyed. I haven't always honored them. And that I'm sorry. Child, adult, would you raise your hand now, this time? Amen. 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 Lots of you can put your hands down. Lord, you see these hands today. I pray, Lord, that you would give those that have raised their hands the courage to be able to go to their parents and to make things right with them. Lord, that broken relationships would be restored and strained relationships would be mended. And that, Lord, you would honor your word this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one other thing to do. We'd like to honor all the dads in the service this morning. So would you stand, your father here this morning, would you just stand where you're at? And I'd like a couple of the young people to come forward this morning and to hand out a gift to each dad here. The gift that we have to you, for you is work gloves. And I thought of the Bible verse, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So as you wear those you can be reminded of those. There's a couple other guys there, you can share them. Be reminded of that verse. Well, let's worship our Heavenly Father at the same time we're honoring our earthly fathers.
Father, we love Thee, we worship and adore Thee, glorify Thy name in all the earth, glorify Thy name,
just one more time.
God, we just thank You for each and every father here today and the families that they represent. We know, Lord, that each one loves their family and cares much about them. God, may we just honor You today in our lives as fathers. We give You glory. We give You honor. And we thank You, God, for all that You've done and meant in our lives. We just pray for each father that they would be the father that You want them to be. Give them honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.